Joe in Avoca is on the phone. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
What's up?
We are good, Joe.
Oh, I'm great.
Okay.
If I was any better, I'd have to take something for it,
Yeah.
Okay? Never. Have you all heard the words? Do you know the Sayan words? Like from the Philippines?
No. Can't say that I know anything from the Philippines.
You know what? We're going to kick Auburn's laboot.
Oh, okay.
Laboot means... And they're gonna pretty much eat on our oatin.
Okay.
And we're gonna take their women and we're gonna use their two toys.
Their two toys, okay.
We're like Vikings. We're just gonna roll in there and just take it all.
Okay.
So Gus, we're coming in more ways than one, boy. We'll see ya.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
The only radio show Razorback fans need to listen to.
Unbiased and unafraid.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ruskin and Zach.
I was a little late getting here today.
You were?
I was trying to figure out with my tattoo artist how to squeeze Odom and Musselman onto the same tattoo. You know, like with the wings of an eagle coming out of the bottom of their neck somehow, where you have their face and then like a glorious eagle with its wings spread wide, flying over a beautiful meadow of native grasses,
poppies,
grit poppies, swaying in the breeze, sure. All of that.
Well, it's good to see you took the win in stride.
I feel like I've got the first $50 in my pocket for the Barry Odom lifetime contract. Like, let's enough of this BSing around. Let's put our money where our mouth is. This guy is give him a lifetime appointment, like a justice. He can be the defensive justice at Arkansas football. Go ahead.
Here you go. I'm a man of my word. You can't see this on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little birthday money here. Look at there.
Well, hey, $50
right
lost
there.
50 on Oklahoma this weekend, so if you don't mind, don't leave that.
Let me pull that back.
Yeah, pull that back, because I will take that from you.
Nothing like a sight gag on the radio to get you started, but I threw a $50 bill on the table because I have birthday money. Yes, I still get birthday money. Don't ask.
How old are you?
I'm
9?
17 years old.
Okay.
So let's... Let's figure out how we can work this logistically. We'll call up Juracek. He takes our call. And let's get this Barry Odom lifetime deal done, right? Let's do that.
I suggested.
And in the meantime, can we reduce Kendall Briles' contract by 1 year? Let's do that at the same time. And then use the money to pay Barry.
I suggested during the game that maybe when the team returned, we form a hug line for Barry Odom because dude earned it. And I was willing to be the first guy in line to give Barry Odom a hug.
Yeah.
Maybe we start there. Let's let him get through 10 games, and then we'll maybe give him the lifetime.
Yes. They are still mathematically alive for my 9-1 prediction. I would like to also point out today the one that the SEC censored when I said they would win the West and go 9-1. I was censored by the league office.
Oh, God forbid.
And it's still alive.
God forbid they win the West.
Well, I'm going to sue.
Oh, I would.
I'm going to sue. This is going to get very nasty.
Get the house attorney on the phone.
That's right. I'm going to sue if they win the West. Well, I want my ballot to be displayed in all of its glory. I want to go on every dopey TV show they have on that stupid network of theirs. I want to do a whole tour if they win them all. All right? And by the way, this is a great point from Chaz here. Like, Basil, you can go ahead and put Barry Odom's name on the Broyles Award. Like, just go. Just start engraving. Start now. B-A-R-R-Y space O-D-O-M.
Maybe.
Barry Odom.
Maybe. No. We let him get through a couple more games.
Nah.
Okay. Fine. All right.
Nah, it's fine. That's fine.
What 21-14. I don't know when we're allowed to discuss how bad the offense was in the second half, and it's single-handedly the reason they almost lost the game. 9 yards of offense after the touchdown drive, 2 first downs.
Wasn't good.
I don't know when we're allowed to talk about that, but I don't think it's today because I don't think you're all in the, you're still in a pretty celebratory mood out there. You're still, wide-eyed and optimistic and talking about being ranked at a position in a poll that is physically not possible to be ranked in. You can't be ranked 38th in a poll of 25. It's not, that defies all laws, but you're not ready to, you're not ready for this yet. You're not ready for this yet. So let's talk about your co-defensive players of the week. Of course, it's Arkansas, so it has to be co. Am I right? Like, it's got to be. But this time, it's co with two guys on the same defense. Fouché, who had 2 picks, and Bumper Pool, who, ever since the Thursday we were at Fantasy Sports Cuts, and some gas bag on the radio said, the linebackers are not any good, I'm not even worried about them. They've had two really good games. I don't know if that had anything to do, if someone heard that and like, hey, Bumper, listen to this moron. I don't know. But it is quite curious to me that I trashed them pretty good the Thursday before the Georgia game, and they've had two really good games since.
They have.
So, I don't know. Maybe my tape's playing in the room on a loop there, in the linebacker room. I have no idea. So, I don't know. How do you feel about all this?
It was a hell of a performance. It was a hell of a performance by the defense. The offense is a work in progress, but they're not as far away as I thought. In going back and looking at some of the the running game is there's some work to be done there, and I think Felipe Franks is maybe not as far along as we had all hoped. They're banged up. They're dinged up. Burks and Boyd are back at practice today, so that's good. The offense, I'm sort of in a wait and see there, but I think Barry Odom proved one thing. And this is going forward. This is going into this week, Auburn, the whole thing. There are two very distinctive game plans between week one and week two, and neither of those tapes are good for the Auburn offensive staff.
Well,
you can't use them other than to identify personnel because you're going to see a completely different scheme.
Well, here's what I know about last week, and you know, you're the tape breaker downer of all of this stuff, and I am not. So here's my impression of the game. Arkansas really wanted that game and won it, and Mississippi State couldn't have cared less. That's what I saw. They things would happen, and they'd be like, oh, well, we beat LSU last week. Whoopsie. Okay, we're not going to adapt or change anything. Well. And Arkansas fought and scraped and clawed till there was no time on the clock, even effed up the victory formation, and in spite of that, still won, which is really, really the most impossible part of all. Is screwing up the victory formation and then still
winning.
That's
the one thing you
don't screw up.
Because
usually the Arkansas way is screw up the victory formation and then lose. But that's not what happened this time. So.
I'm having gone back, I've watched 3 quarters of the game with somewhat of a critical eye, and it just appeared that Barry Odom's defense had that offense down. I mean, they knew what was coming. They knew, and, you know, I was listening to Bumper Pool in the post game talking about, well, they were going to catch, you know, let them make the catch and make the tackle. It's not exactly what they did. They defended routes. They defended air versus defending players, which is what LSU did. LSU tried to go man on them. And when you're defending routes and you're only looking for 1 or 2 or 3 routes, it's pretty easy to defend because once they don't, you know, if a guy runs a vertical by you, you've got the short flat, you can let him go. It's not your responsibility. The guy behind you has him. And they were, every all 22 I saw, they were 7 to 25 yards deep. They were not going to throw the football down the field. And they dared KJ Costello to dink and dunk his way and be patient. And he couldn't do it. They just couldn't help themselves. They kept running the same place. You can't run verticals against a zone that's 25 yards deep. You can't do it. It's physically impossible. I don't care if you have Carl Lewis back there running the route.
Uh-oh.
You can't do that sort of stuff. I said at halftime that Leach was going to come out and try and run the ball. On the drive in which they scored, it was a nice mix of run and pass, and then he got pass happy again. It was like they scored, and it's like, oh, you know, screw it. We can go do whatever we want. Costello was confused all night. His mechanics are terrible. A couple of the interceptions, a couple of the incompletions, I mean, he was throwing off his back foot. Ball sailing away. His release point is really bad. And Arkansas took advantage of it. I mean, the two picks that Fouché had, I mean, you threw it into like double or triple coverage. It just, you shouldn't make those mistakes as a senior quarterback.
A thought before I lose the thread, because I've already lost it once, and I don't want to lose it again. Maybe the reason they started Georgia prep the Friday before the Georgia game, or the Friday 8 days out, is because they had spent the prior 2 weeks prepping for Mississippi State.
I don't know. coaches don't work.
They
like
knew
that.
Everything. They knew everything.
I'll tell you this. They had a really solid book on that offense.
Well, what I was told is that they knew Mississippi State had tells on offense, and Arkansas knew them, and they were right every time. You know, a certain thing happens this way or that way with a lineman or whatever it is. That's what I was told. And you just read those. There might have been a linebacker calling out run or pass all night long.
Yeah. I mean,
and he might have been right all night long.
I'll tell you this. Their defensive linemen are taught to look at offensive linemen's knuckles. You know, if they go down a three-point stance, if they're leaning forward, those knuckles are going to go white. It's run. If they're, you know, if an offensive lineman rocks back in his stance, he's probably pass protecting. You know, if he leans forward a little bit, you know, he's probably coming in run. It seemed to me that they had whatever Mississippi State was planning, they had it pretty well defensed. Then the other part of the equation is you got to go tackle them. They catch it, you got to go tackle them. And they forced Mississippi State. Mississippi State was so stubborn in the pass game. KJ Costello could have run for 190 yards if he'd wanted to, but he sat in the pocket and tried to force the ball in, and Arkansas took advantage.
I'm for all defensive coordinators who have bad tackling defenses to be rounded up and put into some sort of a giant room where they have to listen to Eddie and Clarksville phone calls all day or some kind of torturous program. If you're in the middle of the field, the only way to end a play on defense is to tackle someone. How can you be bad at that?
So one thing you're supposed to be able to do.
It's the only way to stop them. You can't trip them. You can't stab them. You have to tackle them. So Arkansas made light years there, and it kind of made me more pissed about the last 2 years when they were bad at it. All right, your reaction. Coming up, Ruskin and Zach.
Unbiased and unafraid.
This is Ruskin and Zach.
You know, it's always weird when our music pops up on other shows,
it's all pulling from the same place.
I know, which is not right. Like, our music does not fit the other show that's on here.
It does not.
Like, it's not. It is not. You hear that, and then you, the subject matter comes out on the other show, and it's like, that's
one of these things is not like
that. Whiplash situation. All right, let's go to Andrew Hutchinson now. Hogbeat.com, part of Rivals with us here on Ruskin and Zach. Hutch, how's it going?
It's going good, guys. How about y'all?
Well, we're doing good. Any new updates on some of the injuries coming out of the Mississippi State game? We'll start there.
Yeah, I mean, nothing new since we talked to Sam Pittman yesterday. I mean, it sounds like Rakeem Boyd and Treylon Burks were going to be at practice starting yesterday. Now, how much participating are they going to be doing at practice? That remains to be seen. Monteric Brown, it sounds like he's going to be good to go for Saturday. Trying to think. There were a bunch of them. I mean, at one point during the first half, it was like, holy cow, they're dropping like flies. But it sounds like it's mostly good news, and you got to feel good about, what you got out of the guys that came in for those guys that got hurt. And then also if you get just a few of these guys back, you're sitting in pretty good shape.
And you don't want them missing any practice time, but guys like Brown, Burks, and Boyd, those are guys who played enough. You can probably take them out to Thursday. I mean, as long as they practice by Thursday, they'll be good to go. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for them isn't as important as it is for some of the younger guys.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you need the practice for sure, and Sam has said before that he would like to have guys back by Wednesday. You know, that was speaking in context of, like, COVID quarantines and things like that. But for a guy that's as talented, especially as Rakeem Boyd, who's played a ton, Treylon Burks, even though he's just a sophomore, he's played a ton. Same thing with Brown. I mean, those guys have played enough to where he'd probably feel comfortable, even if they weren't playing, their usual amount of reps. They'll be good to go at least, a little bit. Like, you could see, I think Joe Fouché is a good example. He return to practice late in the week before Georgia and probably only played about half the number of snaps that he would have if he had been, you know, full strength all week long.
So as you look back at some of the numbers or in all of the different things coming out of the Mississippi State game, what is a thing or two that stood out to you from that standpoint?
Probably the most incredible thing was just the players Arkansas played and played with, you know, got with the guys getting hurt. I mean, you had guys like Hudson Clark coming in, a walk-on at corner when Brown got hurt. You had, Simeon Blair played a bunch of snaps again. He's a former walk-on. Grant Morgan's a former walk-on. He had 15 tackles with one arm. I think when it was all said and done, Nikki added it up. There was about 245 snaps combined on offense and defense from either former or current walk-on. And I think 30% of the defensive snaps were by either former or current walk-ons or former two-star recruits. I mean, you think about Jerry Jacobs, the grad transfer from Arkansas State. He was a two-star recruit coming out of JUCO. And Grant Morgan was a two-star recruit. Hayden Henry was a two-star recruit. Andrew Parker was a two-star recruit. And those guys played, between all of those guys, almost a third of the defensive snaps against Mississippi State. And this is the same defense that helped that air raid attack to 14 points. And I thought that was just incredible perspective. Throughout the game, you heard the commentators making a big deal about Kylan Hill getting hurt, how that probably affected Mississippi State's game plan and really changed things. I'm like, well, they're not the only team that had a bunch of injuries that affected things. So it was pretty incredible.
I want to talk a little bit about the defensive line because I thought that was sort of the story of the game. I mean, they played, what it was, seven guys, and they never rushed. Well, they rushed three on every play but one. One of the guys that sort of made an impact for the first time really in his career, we've been waiting for him to do something, is Zach Williams, the kid out of Joe T. Robinson. I mean, he had a heck of a game. That and in particular, Jonathan Marshall, Eric Gregory, those three guys, I think you found something. Maybe if that's your second unit, I think you got something there that you can work with.
I think so. I mean, I've been on the Jonathan Marshall hype train all offseason. I thought he was primed for a breakout kind of year, kind of like what we saw with Armon Watts a couple of years ago. And he was just constantly driving the center backwards. I mean, was in the backfield. I don't think he really had any, like, official statistics, but his play was recognized, like, on Pro Football Focus. I think he was a top-graded player on the defense with, like, an 82 grade or something like that. He had, like, eight pressures.
He had three tackles total.
Yeah, so, I mean, the three tackles doesn't tell the whole story. I mean,
if you're driving the line back and disrupting the play, I mean, that's big enough. That's what you're supposed to do.
Exactly, and he had a tremendous impact. I mean, the other guys played really well. I mean, as you mentioned, there was Arkansas blitz exactly one time the entire game. And interestingly enough, that was a 32-yard gain for Mississippi State.
It's their biggest play of the night. Have you ever stumbled across a stat where a team blitzed once in a game?
I haven't seen it. I mean, I've only been looking at the Pro Football Focus data for a little over a year now, but I have not come across it. That was very unique. And really, I mean, they took a page out of the – I think Washington did that against Washington State the last several years. That's why they had so much success.
Guess what Barry Odom watched? He watched a lot of Washington film because they've had the most success against that air raid offense.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they never told us exactly what teams it was. But, I mean, Sam Pittman and Bumper Pool after the game said, yeah, we watched some tape from the old you know, Washington State games and – we'll let the rest of the SEC figure it out. But I think it's pretty obvious that. And I think Utah also had quite a bit of success against Washington State.
We're talking with Andrew Hutchinson from Hogbeat.com here on Ruskin and Zach. What's your opinion on the where the offense is right now?
Yeah, the offense has definitely been a little bit more disappointing than what I think we all expected. I think everyone kind of expected the turnaround on the offensive side of the ball that we've seen on the defensive side of the ball. But I think they're close. I mean, everyone hates hearing that because there was a certain former head coach that used to say we're close. But it does seem like they're, you know, just a guy or two away from springing, you know, bigger plays and better play designs. I mean, the fourth down play near the goal line with KJ.
What was that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the through at least through two games. I'm not a big fan of the KJ package. Perhaps it can get better if he can get better with his reads.
You just feel like they're sort of outthinking themselves here. I mean, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. You don't have to get cute with this.
Yeah, I think they're still trying to feel things out. I mean, I feel like if they just get the base stuff down, then they'll be successful just by the sheer athletes they have. I mean, I think everyone knows and agrees that, you know, they Arkansas has some pretty solid, you know, first group of receivers. They have a really good running back, you know, if he's healthy, and Rakeem Boyd. Just run basic stuff, and you should be able to put some drives together without all the cute stuff.
It feels like the most important thing is to go fast, not exactly and execution is secondary.
Yeah, you get that sense every now and then. I think there were times against Mississippi State where it actually looked like it was supposed to look.
Yes.
Like they went fast and sped things up. They pick and choose when to speed things up. I think if they go too fast, they still. I mean, this is still just two games into a brand new offense. You didn't get spring ball. You only got, you know, limited fall camp and whatnot. You know, guys missed at various times of camp. So I think they need to kind of slow things down at times and speed. You know, pick their spots to speed it up and, you know, catch the defense off guard.
What's up with Julius Coates? He got a DNP on Saturday. Seems like that would have been a guy that could have helped him.
Well, it wasn't injury related. That's all Sam Pittman wanted to give away on Monday. I actually asked about it. I said, is it an injury thing or is it something else? And same thing with Amonte Spivey, the running back. He also didn't make the trip. They're healthy. He said they're healthy. And that was the extent of the quote. Sam Pittman does not like discussing injuries and or personnel matters based on my limited interactions with him so far. In press conferences.
Now, we're talking with Andrew Hutchinson from Hogbeat here on Ruskin and Zach. Again, I thought he struck the perfect tone yesterday as, you know, a state full of fans is so excited that they win. He is steady at the wheel we still got a long way to go here. Like, this is not, we're not perfect and we're not great yet here.
Yeah, I mean, it honestly felt like his post-game press conference after the Georgia game and his post-game press conference after the Mississippi State game really felt similar, like similar tones. He really didn't want to take any of the credit for the win. He put all of it on the players and his coaches, and he didn't get super excited. I think even maybe Tom Murphy had asked, you know, like, hey, you seem pretty subdued right now. Do you feel more excited on the inside? And he said, man, I'm just happy for the state. I'm happy for these players because they haven't really had a lot of success. So it was just kind of really interesting. He is truly the epitome of not getting too high and not getting too low. I think that's a good steadying hand for this team because it has been so up and down and mostly down the last couple of years.
It's a temperament of like a baseball manager. Like over all those games, you can't be on a roller coaster. You'll just burn out. And it reminds me a lot of the temperature of a I mean, there's some fire there when needed to be, of course, and we've seen that. But it's pretty steady at the wheel so far.
Yeah, I mean, you make a great point. It reminds me of Dave Van Horn. I mean, Dave Van Horn does not get too upset or too excited after any game. I mean, even after I've seen him interview Dave Van Horn after games that have sent him to the College World Series, and he is still very like, you know, hey, I'm excited for the kids. You know, we worked really hard to get here, but there's still work to be done. And then that's what Sam Pittman kind of conveys. And they're very, very similar temperaments. And you would hope that maybe that leads to some of the same success that Dave Van Horn has had. But you got to get to win number two before you can worry about any of that.
All right. Time to talk about the elephant in the room, which is, okay, you just won a game. You ended a long losing streak. How do you, in a vacuum, the biggest thing is, well, you got to handle success. Now you got to handle success in a week in which you got to go play your former coach. Certainly, emotions will be high. There will be a we're out to prove something sort of mentality. And then, oh, by the way, the team in front of you is pretty dang good.
Yeah, there's story angles galore for this game. I mean, anytime you play Gus Malzahn, Arkansas fans are going to be pretty fired up. But throw in Chad Morris, and it's going to be amped up even more. And these players are going to be fired up and ready to go. I know Sam Pittman said they're just treating it like taking a business.
Sure.
Just like any other game. That may be how Sam Pittman treats it. That may be how the staff treats it. But you know that there are at least a segment of those players in that locker room that are going to be out there to prove and say, hey, this is what you had, and you completely messed it up in a spectacular fashion. So I expect there to be a lot more emotion, but I also don't expect it to necessarily lead to any stupid penalties. I think what Mike Woods did at the end of the Mississippi State game, and the reaction from Sam Pittman.
Pretty sure that won't happen again.
Keep that in check.
Yeah, that's really it's always interesting. You're right about it being kind of amplified with both Gus and Chad Morris on the other side. All right, Hutch, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you, sir.
Stolen from and copied. This is Ruskin and Zach.
We appreciate you spending some time with us today. Going to the hotline now to visit with Lauren Sisler. She'll be on the sideline on the telecast on the SEC Network Saturday afternoon down at Jordan-Hare Stadium as Arkansas takes on Auburn. Lauren, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, doing kind of crazy. I keep, I'm one of those that loves to basically be like, okay, week one, week two, week three, and I have to, remind myself. We're technically in week six of the season, but week three in the SEC season. So, it kind of jogs my mind a little bit having to sort of keep track of it all and remember. But, hey, we're cruising right along and feeling good about it.
Yeah, it confuses me, too, when I see week six and the teams are 1-1, or whatever it is. It's odd, and it looks like weather is going to be a big storyline in this game on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that's definitely going to be one of the leading storylines. I keep looking at my app, my Dark Sky app, trying to track things, see when things are going to be, at their best and maybe at their worst. And right now, it looks like we're going to be kind of right in the eye of it in terms of the rain and some heavy winds and whatnot. And, it's kind of always sort of my question. I've always kind of wondered, obviously outside of lightning, we know that will delay a game, but what has to happen in terms of wind and rain for a game to be delayed? And I think that's kind of a question going into this. And of course, there's a buffer built in, obviously, because of the pandemic. And, I don't know that a team would really want to utilize that buffer if they don't have to, if it's weather related, but I guess you just never know. But as of right now, it's kind of been interesting to see. LSU obviously shifted their game; they're now going to be at Missouri. Obviously, a night game went to a morning game. So, weather I think is going to be a big part of this. It's going to be a big part of the narrative. It's going to be sloppy. It's going to be a mess. But I think Arkansas kind of prides themselves on being able to play in this kind of weather. And I guess they're going to go out there and not make excuses and see how they can, hopefully work to get back in the win column for the second week in a row.
On the football side of things, we've sort of gotten a sense of it up here, but there appears to be a lot of consternation on the Auburn side of things right now, especially on the offensive side between Chad Morris, Gus Malzahn. I watched a lot of Auburn tape the last 2 days. This does not look at all like a Gus Malzahn offense.
Yeah, I think obviously the number one thing that kind of stands out to you is they're not having any success running the football. And that's part of the Auburn identity and has been under Gus Malzahn for many years. And they just aren't having success running the football. So I think that's definitely a glaring issue. Obviously, the offensive line has some issues as well, some inexperience up there, just trying to figure out the right combination. And, I think that's a huge factor here. And so, I think a lot of people sort of pointing to Bo Nix and his abilities, and obviously it did not translate on the road against Georgia, but, the Georgia defense, we're talking about probably one of the best defenses in the country. And again, in week one against Arkansas, we didn't really see that, right? There was a lot of question marks as to how good Georgia was going to be. And then they just came out, guns a-blazing this past week and You know, they look like the Georgia team that I think everyone kind of expected to see. So, you know, I think there's a lot of variables there, but I think with the Bo Nix, you know, his ability, you know, how he's able to compete on the road versus at home, I think is substantially different. We saw that last year. And, you know, you would think, like, obviously his transition into the sophomore season, being able to kind of generate some of that poise and that maturity that you typically see from a quarterback as they're making that transition. And, you know, I think that's something that we'd like to see. I think Bo Nix is a very good quarterback. I think he's got a lot of potential. But, you know, what is it that gets him rattled and his inability to make good decisions? And, I mean, he even said it, like, we played our absolute worst game as an offense and, you know, Georgia played their absolute best game. And I think that was a big part of the storyline. So you get them back home, Jordan-Hare Stadium, again, home field advantage. It's still a thing, but, you know, we're talking 20,000 fans versus maybe, you know, the typical 80 to 100,000 fans. It definitely has a different feel to it. And I would imagine that those numbers will be diminished this weekend with the weather being what it's going to be. But, you know, those are some glaring issues. And I think, you know, what is the offense going to look like this week? And, you know, Chad Morris sort of, we saw some good things in week one against Kentucky. We saw some not so good things against Georgia in week two. Is it going to look different this week in week three? Is it going to be more of a Chad Morris type offense? Are we going to see maybe a little bit more Gus Malzahn-esque offense in there? I don't know. I think that's going to be a big question as we go into this football game to see kind of what things they like to throw out. And again, if weather's going to be a big part of that game plan.
We're talking with Lauren Sisler from the SEC Network here on Ruskin and Zach. As you and your crew puts together some prep for the game, when you look at Arkansas specifically, Lauren, what kind of stands out to you?
Well, you know, I think we'll start in the offensive side of the football. You know, I think that first of all, I'm going to just throw this out here. Had the opportunity to talk with Coach Pittman for the first time earlier today. And, man, you know, I was impressed talking with him. Just this opportunity to, you know, kind of get to know him as a coach. And I just love kind of pulling the curtain back and getting to know people. And, you know, I love his demeanor. I love his character. You know, he's that type of guy that comes in and wants guys to run through a wall. That's just something that he talks about and something that he kind of hangs his hat on. And I think that, you know, in the middle of this COVID era, that was probably hard to develop with a lot of guys, being able to have that face-to-face interaction with them. But it seems like the guys are bought in. So I think that, number one, you're going into this game with a lot of juice, a lot of energy, almost a sigh of relief, you know, in a lot of ways. Obviously, that excitement for the win, but obviously a sigh of relief because you break that streak, and now it's like, okay, we're turning the page. We're doing some positive things. Whether it shows up in the win column or not obviously remains to be seen. But, you know, I think that is a step in the right direction. So you have that going for you. Of course, on the offensive side of the football, I do think that they've got a lot of weapons. I like what I'm seeing so far from Felipe Franks. I think he's got a tremendous arm. I think that he's got arm talent. His accuracy is tremendous. You know, I think, again, protecting the football is going to be huge. Protecting your quarterback is going to be huge, and obviously getting some explosive plays. Again, how much of that are we going to see? What kind of percentage are we going to see on the ground versus through the air, especially if the football, you know, the field is wet and obviously the football is wet? You can imagine teams are probably, you know, working on that as we speak, you know, the wet ball drills, trying to make sure that ball security becomes the number one priority. But definitely excited to see kind of what they have. We've seen good and we've seen bad from Felipe Franks. So I think he's just going to continue to grow and improve and sort of settle into that offense as we go on here. And so I'm excited to see that. Defensively, you know, the one thing that concerns me, I think, is the depth, especially on the front, you know, in the front. You know, guys are banged up. There's some injury issues. Obviously, that's still to be determined. We're not sure who's going to be available or not, but I think that's definitely a big storyline, what guys will be available and, you know, do they have enough depth to be able to, you know, go up against this Auburn offense that, you know, could potentially run the ball a little better than they have before and obviously make some explosive plays. And, you know, Seth Williams was a big threat, obviously, in week one against Kentucky. We didn't see much of him until the third quarter this past week against Georgia. So, you know, I think that Auburn does have explosive weapons. So I think that, you know, Arkansas is certainly going to have their hands full. The secondary is going to have to show up for sure. And, you know, I think they're just really going to have to, you know, get those guys off field and obviously, you know, flip the field and be able to use that to their advantage and you know, kind of go up against what we've seen from Auburn is a tempo team, and we'll see what kind of tempo we see, obviously, again on Saturday with, you know, the weather conditions and everything else that kind of factors in.
These are two of the worst rushing teams in the league. I think Auburn's run for 130 yards, Arkansas just a little bit more than that. And if you throw the weather into this, I mean, this game feels like 17-10, 14-10, somewhere in there where the two defenses completely dominate. And it could come down to a special teams error, a turnover here, there. Ball security is going to be a huge deal. In talking with Coach Pittman, did he talk at all about that stuff? And talking with Coach Malzahn, is that a concern for them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, absolutely. I think that's a big concern. The ball security, being able to take care of the football, is absolutely, going to be a top priority coming into this matchup. Again, we don't, the weather, it's still Wednesday, like a lot can happen. We don't quite know what that's going to look like, but you prepare for it, right? You got to prepare for it. And I think that's certainly, the narrative leading into this football game. And so, yeah, absolutely, ball security is going to be a big one. And, being able to take care of the football. And I agree with you. I think that the score of the game, again, I'm not into making a lot of predictions, but I do think that it might be a little bit of a lower scoring game. It's going to be sloppy. It's going to be messy. And I think it will be perhaps more of a defensive shootout, who can take care of the football, and on the other side of it, who can get a takeaway or two and turn that into points on the scoreboard. So I'm excited about it, though. I'm excited to see how both teams perform. I think both teams are, have a lot to learn from, a lot to gain, from the first 2 weeks, a lot of room for improvement. And, we'll just see which team shows up ready to compete and has the edge, as probably the turnover battle will be the biggest factor that we're going to see on Saturday.
We're talking with Lauren Sisler from the SEC Network here on Ruskin and Zach. I'm sure you've been asked a million times about what it's like in these stadiums. I'm more curious on the in the logistics, because the way you travel and get to games and everything before the game is probably a lot different now than it used to be as well.
Yeah, it's definitely quite a bit different in how we do things. Obviously, we're being tested every week, making sure that we are free of COVID before we step foot on the field. We want to make sure that we are maintaining the safety of our employees, obviously, and everyone around us. And then, of course, the teams are doing their due diligence, and obviously the officials and everyone that's out there working the game. So, we're having to be, monitoring that, staying safe from, testing and making sure that we're clear before we do our jobs. But yeah, it's different. I got Taylor Zarzor and Matt Stinchcomb on the call with me this week, up in the booth, but the booth looks quite a bit different. They're sitting in their living rooms. I kind of joked with them. I said, man, you guys get the, most times I'd want to be, up in the booth, but they kind of get it made, not having to travel in this yucky weather and sort of deal with all that. This is probably the one time that they probably are thankful to be kind of at home, but it definitely poses a lot of challenges. It's different. It's a different feel, that's part of what I love is when we travel to games and sort of building that camaraderie, that chemistry, getting to sit in the same room, go to dinner with these folks, get to have sort of, a little bit of shop talk X's and O's, but just sort of get to know them on a personal level. And you don't really get to do that right now because of the pandemic and limited travel. And, I'm one of the few people on site during these games. And so I'm definitely the eyes and ears on the field. I'm kind of at the front line, sort of watching and monitoring things. And so my job becomes even more important, just to be able to relay those messages to those guys back at home, as well as, our producers and stuff that are in the truck and back in the control room, for sure.
You should institute a fine for every hurricane joke they make. I mean, if they're in their living room, you should be getting hazard pay for this.
I know, that's right. Yeah. The good news is I do live in Birmingham, so I'm not too far away from Auburn, about an hour and 45 minutes. So, plan on heading up Friday. Hopefully I'll dodge some of the weather driving in. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely different. You got to pack your rain gear, and I'm an optimist, so I'm always one of those that, if there's a percentage of rain in the forecast, I'm like, I'm good. It's not going to rain. But inevitably, when I say that, then I always regret not packing my rain gear. But I can assure you that it will be rain gear through and through. I've even said I'll probably break out my snowboarding pants, but I haven't gotten to break out here in Alabama in a very long time. We obviously don't get snow here, and every once in a while I'll travel to the slopes and do some snowboarding, but You know, the waterproof pants. I hate being wet. Like, being wet out on the field, especially cold and wet, is no fun. I mean, I think it's supposed to be in, like, the 70s, which won't be too bad, but it still makes for a yucky game. So, you know, and then, of course, I'm tethered to all sorts of electronic equipment, you know, microphones.
Seems safe.
And ISPs and everything else. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. Got to protect the equipment, got to protect everything else. But, you know, I'll just throw a hat on and do my job. And, again, I'm just excited football's here. I'm excited to be able to talk about it and break things down and be, you know, obviously on the sidelines and also a spectator. And seems like it's been a long time coming, but we're here. We're making our way, and definitely excited for the weekend.
I was reading your bio. You're from the 540. I'm originally from the 804, and you went to the same high school as the Red Rooster, Marty Smith. Is that correct?
I did. Yes, that is correct. I did indeed. Yep, I am from the 540. I grew up in Roanoke, Virginia. I went to Giles High School. You know, we called that back then, you know, Marty will tell you that was single wing football back in the day, right? So I think Giles County, I think, still runs the single wing football. I haven't seen him play in a couple of years, but yeah, I mean, you know, it was a fun time. And then I ended up going to school in New Jersey at Rutgers on gymnastics scholarship. So I've kind of been all over the map, but it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, I never thought I'd be here in Birmingham, Alabama. It was never on my radar, but here I am. And, you know, I love sports in the South. I prefer the warm weather over the cold weather. So that's another bonus for living down here. And, you know, you're about 4 hours from the beach, 3.5, 4 hours. You get a little bit of everything. And, you know, you're pretty close to a lot of things. And then you just hop on a plane and I can get home in about 7.5, 8 hours to Virginia if I want to drive, or just hop on a plane out of Birmingham. And it's smooth sailing.
No. Lauren Sisler, SEC Network. She'll be on the sidelines in Auburn for the game on Saturday. We really appreciate the time, Lauren. Thanks a lot.
Live across Arkansas,
this is Reskin and Zach.
All right, we have controversy already in the pick contest.
We do?
Robert may have been cheating off of our celebrity casting
shots. He's like leaning over and like looking at her notes.
I don't have notes, so there.
Yeah, I know. Well, obviously, wow. You're leaning over.
Humble brag.
Yeah. I don't need no notes. Robert, by the way, I'm going to have to double check. Either went 4-2 or 3-3 last week. DQ went 2-4.
I missed the Cowboys for sure.
Yeah, I think you went 4-2. I'll have to go back and double check that. But DQ.
But I got the Arkansas game.
You did.
Yeah, not.
You did.
You did get that. Yes.
DQ. This, remember, she chastised me for telling me that it was not her alma mater yet. Picked Mississippi State.
And that
didn't go well.
I'm happy that I was wrong.
It's a great answer.
That's good, a great answer. Good, good, good,
good.
Good
answer. Good answer.
Yeah, I didn't get a harumph out of that.
All right. It's Stadium Shop Pick'em. Robert Mann from the Stadium Shop is here.
Morning.
And who is our celebrity guest?
Our celebrity guest is 9-year-old Mackenzie Arnes. Hey, baby.
Hi.
She's
your daughter.
My daughter, Mackenzie, is our celebrity guest picker.
And he was right. She is under 5 foot.
She is under 5 foot tall. You guys thought we were getting a host of a pregame show.
Of a popular pregame show.
So, no, we brought my daughter in. She's actually more excited about skipping school than being on the radio. Yeah, she was thrilled to tell everybody that she was going to be on the radio, and people were like, people still listen to the radio? So here are, we picked 6 games this week, and there are a bunch of good ones in the college ranks this week. There are a lot of better pro games last week. I'll run through the games real fast, and then we'll get to everybody's, we'll start with Ruskin, because I'd love to hear his extemporaneous.
Oh, you want me in on this
we'll
now?
Get you in on it. All right, so here are the games. Florida at Texas A&M. I learned today that Kyle Trask, by the way, was named after, his family's full of Aggies, and he was named after Kyle Field.
Oh, yeah, just I think FYI. I've heard that.
Florida plays A&M in College Station. Texas OU, the Red River, whatever it is. Virginia Tech, UNC, sneaky good ranked game. Tennessee, Georgia, Arkansas, Auburn, and Miami and Clemson. Those are the games this week. So we will start at the top with Florida at Texas A&M in College Station. And we'll start with you.
Me?
Yeah. Please influence our celebrity pickers.
I got Florida winning this.
Any particular reason?
Kyle Trask is the best quarterback in the game.
Okay.
I haven't seen anybody that can stop that. Who's the big tight end they got over there? He's awesome from Florida. He's so great, I don't even remember his name, but he's really good.
That good, huh?
This is what happens when you tell me 1 second.
There's Gronkowski, there's you know, Travis Kelce, and you know, what's his name from Florida?
That's right.
All right, we'll start with Robert because he is the guest du jour. Robert, tell me what you think about Florida at Texas A&M.
I told you earlier when we did this that Florida was actually good, and you were trying to get us to say they weren't. Remember okay. that?
I do.
You remember that?
I do.
Florida is actually good, and A&M actually is horrible. I don't see A&M winning this one at all. I think Florida win this one by 20.
Oh, wow. Okay, you're picking a blowout.
Yeah.
Baby girl, what do you got over there? These are all her picks.
You didn't help her.
Did not help her with the picks. Okay. I helped her with some of the research.
Gotcha.
But I did not help her with the picks. Baby, go ahead. What do you got?
These teams have met twice as members of the SEC. The first game A&M played in the conference was a loss to Florida. A&M got hammered last week by Bama. Ruskin is getting hammered this weekend.
How'd you know about that? What's your pick, babe?
That's a good one.
Florida is the easy pick. Give me the Gators by a bunch.
See, okay. She's with me here.
She is.
So we're all on Florida.
Everybody's on Florida.
No dissension.
By the way, their colors are not blue and orange. Did you know that?
Oh.
It's orange and blue. Okay. Orange comes first.
Okay. This feels like a senior citizens exercise.
Spent 3 years there. What do you expect?
All right, let's go with the Red River shootout rivalry, whatever they call it.
If you can say rivalry, go for it. I can't say it, so I'd go shootout.
Red River rivalry, Texas and Oklahoma. What do you got?
I don't know. They're both pretty blah. So I'm going to go against my raisin, and I'm going to pick Texas.
Okay.
But I hate it. I'm holding my nose. I don't like it. It's who's the ugliest child is what I'm picking here. I'm picking Texas.
Baby doll?
My dad lost $50 of my inheritance last week betting on the Sooners, so that's a factor here. Oklahoma has won 4 of the last and 7 of the last 10, but $50 is $50. Okay, give me Texas.
$50 of her inheritance.
$50.
How dare you?
50 of that 75 she's getting just went down the drain with Oklahoma. Robert?
I hate Texas. OU has been beaten twice, and I think last week was an embarrassment. I really do. I think that they're going to come back out fighting, and I think OU takes Texas because I hate Texas.
Will Chandler Morris play?
No, he's not even on the depth chart. No, he's probably at Auburn. He's like, we're going
to
game this weekend?
Already to Auburn.
Clearly, they need help down there.
It would cut down on the helicopter bills.
Yeah, no kidding. The bat copter's not going back and forth. Now, a sneaky good game if you're just looking for two ranked teams.
I think Robert had one more thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I didn't have anything. Okay.
A sneaky good game is 17th ranked Virginia Tech taking on 8th ranked UNC at Chapel Hill. Ruskin.
Tar Heel.
You like Mac
in honor, I'm a Jordan Black fan, and she went there. So and North Carolina's really good. So
yeah, they're pretty good. Robert?
I'll go with him. North Carolina. They got it going. They're actually, okay, North Carolina's not a powerhouse, but they've actually got something going now, and I think Carolina will beat Virginia Tech.
Sweetie, what do you think on Virginia? I love that the 9-year-old's the only one giving any analysis here. Sweetie, what do you got on Virginia Tech, North Carolina?
The Football Power Index says that Virginia Tech has a 53% chance of beating the number 8 team in the country at home. I ain't buying it. I have no idea what a Hokie is, and my dad won't tell me. I like the heels in this one, Chuck.
Did you say Chuck?
Yeah. Did you write this stuff?
I just helped her with the research.
That's so good.
Oh, good Lord.
Okay. So Tennessee's at Georgia. Another sneaky good game. 12.5 is the spread on this one. In Athens. Ruskin, what do you got?
Oh, it's Georgia all day. What are you talking about?
You think so?
Tennessee's not ready for this yet. They're better, but they're not ready for this yet.
Okay.
They can't handle this jelly.
Robert?
I concur. They can't handle it. No, I'm not going there. Tennessee is probably reading their own press, and they got a reality check this week. I think Georgia big.
Really?
I'll be surprised if Tennessee scores 10 points on them.
Okay. Sweetie, Tennessee at Georgia.
Since the turn of the century is 14-6 in this game.
Georgia is. Sorry, Georgia's 14-6 since the turn of the century. Go ahead. Don't stick your tongue out of me.
It's better than the alternative.
That's true.
I had a dog named Kirby once, and Kirby Smart coaches Georgia. That's a sign. Plus, these Bulldogs are so cute. Georgia big.
There you go. All right. That's quality analysis. Georgia, by the way, 14-6. This isn't a rivalry. It's an ass-kicking every single year.
There's a child present.
I know. Okay, let's go to the ABC primetime game, which is Miami at Clemson. This is the game of the weekend.
Yeah.
Ruskin.
Okay, this is where the dissension begins, because I'm going Miami. The U is back. The U is back. Rhett Lashley, De'Aaron King. De'Aaron King has his Heisman moment on Saturday night in primetime. The U.
No. Sweetie, what do you got on a Miami Clemson?
Clemson has the longest home winning streak in college football right now. The U hasn't beaten Clemson since 2010. That was before I was born. Every year Miami says they're back in like Texas. It's a lie. Clemson, big, like really big.
She likes Clemson.
So can you do this?
Yes.
An upside down U, right?
Good friend of mine, Mike Pounders, is a huge University of Miami fan. This is always his Waterloo. They go, they get their ass kicked, and then I don't hear from them the rest of the year. Who you got?
So she's got Miami.
She's got Clemson.
She's right. Clemson big. I think Clemson. Here's the deal. You really think Miami's back?
I'm trying to steal a point here. So, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think they're better than they were last year, but I don't see them beating Clemson.
No. Okay. Definitely not. Okay, so let's get to the main event, which is Arkansas at Auburn, 3 o'clock. It's now on ESPN. Yes. You can start your day here, 10 a.m., with His Eminence, Tommy Kraft, and Sunshine. They'll have the morning.
Rick Schaefer?
No.
Oh.
No, it's his
Sunshine
son.
Ty Richardson.
It's his son. Arkansas at Auburn, Ruskin.
Okay. Here's what I got for you.
Tell me.
Auburn 21, Arkansas 0. And here's why. I don't know what Kendall Briles is doing yet. And now he may have his best players not playing in the entire game. The offense isn't going to get on track against that defense. But Arkansas is going to hold it to 21 and not 70 like they've been scoring the last few years when Chavis was running the
Chad
defense.
Morris is going to score 21 points.
It's only 30.
He couldn't score in a brothel with a fistful of dollar bills.
Pick six.
All right. Now that happened. That can happen.
He scores two touchdowns.
Right. He couldn't do it with a fistful of hundreds.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right.
Auburn 21, Arkansas 0.
Shutout.
Yeah, shutout.
Robert, what do you got?
I think he's on crack. That's what I think. I think Arkansas will win this one just like last week. But here's the deal. Is Chad going to call the plays or is Gus going to call
knows.
The plays? If there was a game that was circled on the calendar, this is the mm-hmm. one. Okay? If the players really despise Chad Morris like I've been told they did, they've been waiting on this game all freaking year. And I know it's down there, and I know it's going to rain. But if Chad's calling the plays, I think we spank them. I think we beat them. Hey, it may not be a spanking. It may be like 28-21, something like that.
I don't know
that.
Where all these points are coming from.
Well, that's a good point. That's a valid point.
I would take the under in this particular game. But
okay,
that's
let's say
me.
10-7.
I'd sign up for that.
I don't care. As long as we win. We can win by one, and yep. I don't care.
All right, sweetheart. What do you got on Arkansas-Auburn?
The loveliest village on the plains is hosting a hurricane this weekend and a football game. Chad Morris faces the team he coached just 12 months ago, and if he's still calling plays after the first quarter advantage Arkansas. Gus is a Springdale guy. We love him here. Just not today. Give me the Hogs, Chuck 2017.
Give me the Hogs, Chuck.
Who's Chuck?
Chuck Barrett.
Okay, Chuck when they're making Barrett. Their picks. Give me the Hogs, Chuck.
Gotcha.
All right.
Some baby girls in the book, 2017, Arkansas.
Okay.
Those were all her picks, by the way. I just helped her with the research.
Yeah, she didn't get any grief about picking that high a score like you gave me.
Well, no.
Yeah, you badgered Robert into changing his pick.
Okay, let me explain how this works. I got to go home with her.
You don't want to wake up with shaving cream in your mouth.
No, I do not. I have to police her, so no, we're not going to badger her about that.
You did good.
You didn't put Cowboys Giants in here?
No. But
what a game, huh?
Yeah.
What a game.
I just want to know if they're going to have the
0-4 versus
like a tribute video to Jason Garrett when they bring him back.
Oh, and don't forget, Auburn lost a player today. They lost
KJ Britt.
They're right. Number one yep. defensive player.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So maybe
so. His backup must be garbage. So, you know.
Ah, the old transitive property there. Yeah. He gets hurt, so the next guy
the transitive
sucks.
Transitive property means Arkansas is better than LSU.
Yeah, that's the transitive property.
Go
Robert's right
one.
On that.
Go with that.
Yeah.
One.
All right.
You think it, they say it. This is Ruskin and Zach.
We are less than 24 hours from Arkansas and Auburn, tomorrow in Alabama. Game time scheduled for 3 p.m. It's been moved to E1, ESPN1. They'll have the TV. You can hear the game right here. Begin your day with Arkansas Game Day at 10 a.m. with Tommy Kraft and Ty Richardson. The New York Jets had a positive COVID test for a player and sent all their players and coaches home on Friday. And Jets going to Jet. Jets players who tested positive have been retested, and the results should be known at some point this afternoon. China's CCTV, which is fair and balanced from what I hear, announces it plans to televise Game 5 of the NBA Finals, the first NBA game on broadcast television in the land of China.
In the land of China.
More than a year.
People barely have anything.
I think that's their slogan, is fair and balanced. I could be wrong. your Ruskin and Zach Twitter polls today at ESPN. Ruskin Zach. R-U-S-C-I-N-Z-A-C-H. Sorry, I was looking at like two things at once. 3 p.m. tomorrow on ESPN. Who you got, Auburn or Arkansas? 75% of you say Arkansas. So let that sit for a second.
Okay.
The only true Lions in Arkansas high school football are England, Searcy, Clarendon, Mount Ida. 54% of you said Searcy.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
You know I didn't go to Searcy High School, for those of you trying to curry favor with me.
No, you were a private school geek.
That's right.
Are the Lakers closing out the Heat tonight? 73.1% of you said yes. And we've got a big game 5 tonight. Thanks a lot, A's. Yankees and Rays. Who you like in that one? 57.7% of you like Tampa Bay. Those are your Ken and Zach Twitter polls.
Yeah. Garrett Cole's never pitched on this little of rest. And he's going for the Yankees tonight. So very intriguing stuff there.
All right. We've got a text from Milo, which needs to be read. And this, again, when you hear this music, this is not us. This is you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Milo in Eureka Springs says, you and I both know we've seen this scenario before. Arkansas wins a game. Everyone says they're back. To keep from getting heartbroken again, I have come to see back-to-back dominance before I believe it. I don't think Gus will let the offense be stagnant this week. His prediction, unfortunately, is that Gus wins 45-17. I really hope you guys can call me an idiot next week, but I really doubt it. Milo, we'll do you one better. We'll call you an idiot now.
But, I mean, this game means a lot to Gus. I mean, look, he's 6-1?
He is 6-1
against Arkansas.
They win by an average of 33 points.
And the game they lost was in four overtimes here. So that was a close game. Lately it's been Auburn blowing them out. In fact, Arkansas hasn't scored. The last two times they went to Jordan-Hare, they didn't even score a touchdown in the game.
No, this is the one game that I think Gus is...
He's a little more involved.
He's really motivated for this particular football game. And if you don't think I don't know if it's animosity. I guess that's probably the closest thing. If you don't think that's real with him, you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a game that he really digs in on.
Well, the thing that is that I've noticed, and maybe I've just not following the right feeds or anything, but the Morris storylines have greatly overshadowed the Malzahn nostalgia that usually comes with this game, which I have thoroughly enjoyed because I don't give a crap about any of this Malzahn nostalgia. You know who Malzahn really is? Go deep dive at the numbers. You know who he is?
Tell me.
He's nut. Listen to this. Get a load of these figures, all right?
Okay.
10 win seasons. Nut 1, Gus 2. Bowl record. Both of them. 2-5 in bowl games.
Okay.
Win percentage. Nut 61%. Gus 66. How about that?
Okay.
Years in the AP poll. Nut had part of 7 years in the poll. Malzahn 8. 8 win seasons. Both of them have 6. I mean, they're a lot more similar than people realize, yet for some reason, because you have a state full of non-upwardly mobile people who live here for generations and generations, when someone gets out and goes and has success somewhere else, everything becomes about, oh, come back. Come back and do that here. Come back and do that here. And it's not going to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen. He doesn't love that place as much as you do.
Period. He doesn't love that place at all.
Yes, that's right.
At all.
0%.
He has no love lost
for
that place.
And I've never seen a group of people pine for someone who kicks their ass more routinely than this guy. 6-1, baby. 6-1.
By 33.
Like, I don't understand it. And there's a lot more people that I think have gone to the other side that just can't stand him. Just, you know, just are over all of this. But still, particularly in our corner of the world up here, there's still a lot of these Malzahnites walking around with their thin-framed glasses and their visors and their gelled hair, smacking on gum.
Picking their nose.
And picking their nose, right, yeah, because right, Gus eats boogers. But he doesn't care about your school.
No, he doesn't.
He hates it. So get over it. They were never going to hire him 2 years ago. He gave you Chad Morris. If that's not enough to turn you against the guy, I don't know. I don't know how to help you.
Yeah, but now he is afflicted with Chad Morris.
Yes, yes.
So
I think he got duped as well. Maybe I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Derek from Fayetteville. Laying down the facts about Malzahn today. Well, I saw this on social media yesterday from JC Hoops.
Seems
and
odd.
Comparing the two of them, and I was surprised at how, that the, particularly the bowl game record just sucks. 2-5? Ugh, not good.
Yeah, he's also played in some big games. And, I mean, if you're playing in New Year's 6 games, I mean, you can almost give him a pass because you're playing really top-end talent. He did lose to UCF in a Peach Bowl, which you can't do.
No, he
lost in the national title game to a really good Florida State team, coached by Jimbo Fisher.
That's a bad one.
But like, I mean, you look at last year's game, playing Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I understand Nashville in December is not exactly where Auburn thought they'd be, but come on, man, you got to be better than that. That's a game you just go in and take care of business. And again,
they feel like that program there feels like. They're on the level of, if we don't win the division, then we don't care like Alabama is. But they're not on that level.
No.
Like, they're not there.
No.
They're not on the level of, oh, it's the Music City Bowl. Well, we don't care. Like, they're not. They have a more diluted view of themselves than Razorback fans.
They're Texas A&M. It's Alabama, LSU, draw a line. Then it's A&M and Auburn, draw a line. And then it's everybody else.
Yeah. We had somebody actually send us this, and I thought this would be a good poll question. They're willing to go down to 9 toes. They're willing to lose the pinky toe in exchange for a win tomorrow.
For Arkansas fan.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, if you lose the pinky toe, you lose your balance.
I think that's right.
So I
might suggest like losing a middle toe.
Yeah.
I think if you lose your pinky toe, you will tip over.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
This guy, here it is, Jeff. I'd legit trade a pinky toe to beat Gus and Chad by 3 scores and kickstart the firing proceedings on the Plains. Here's the problem with that, though. What if they get somebody better down there? Then you've just screwed yourself if you start the proceedings.
Why the pinky toe?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't want anybody cutting.
Not the captain, the big toe?
Did anybody watch Ozark and have Marty getting stuff shoved under his fingernails, pulled him out? No, don't do that.
So you are not, the Irish play Clemson in a few weeks. You're not willing to lose an appendage for a Notre Dame win in that game?
I do not stake my life's values on a football game, no.
Okay.
I mean,
you're just not a fan.
An idiot.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm not a true fan.
I
should go back to Virginia.
What would you be willing to trade?
Ooh.
You know, legal, let's not get into anything, you know, obscene here.
Mm.
But this guy, Jeff, was willing to trade his little toe for a 3-score win tomorrow.
Hmm.
So what's step up to the pump, Arkansas? What are you going to do? What would you be willing to give up for a win tomorrow? 866-285-4005. The one thing
this feels dangerous. I feel like I should have the paperwork ready.
We got to carefully screen this out. You know, we got to make sure nobody. Oh, I'd murder somebody. No, don't do that.
If you guys want to do that, when you call in, just speak French to DQ. She won't know the difference. She'll put you right through.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I saw that today. I'm like, whoa. Okay. This is real
okay,
now.
All right. So we got a text out of the 870 from a physical therapist who says it's the big toe that controls balance.
Okay.
Thank you. All right.
So the little toe is largely useless.
Yes. So, okay. I mean, if you want to sacrifice your little toe, that's fine. Thank you.
Well, Jerry Garcia didn't have a middle finger, so.
He didn't?
I mean, he was missing a finger, right?
I know Ronnie Lott's missing a finger.
He had 9.5 fingers. Yeah. Jerry Garcia. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It may be the middle one. I'm not sure. Maybe the index one. It's not a pinky. I know that. Or a thumb. So. There you go.
Here's a guy that's willing to give up his ex-girlfriends.
Well, that's not really
that's not a sacrifice, sir.
Yeah, that's right. That's like me giving up kale. I don't eat kale.
Yeah, right.
So that's
right.
You're not really going out there on a very shaky limb there, sir. That's pretty weak.
Greenwood says he would give up his firstborn. I believe that's a crime.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. Let's not do this.
Now, Josh in Pine Ridge is actually willing to sacrifice. He'll give up beer.
Okay.
For how long?
He says one game.
I feel like
one game.
I feel like you got to commit.
That's not a commitment.
Yeah, that's not really a commitment.
You got to give it up the entire rest of the football season.
I think you got to give it up for a year.
Wow.
I mean, that's a sacrifice.
Well, I mean, they haven't won back-to-back games on the road against ranked teams in like 6 years or something. So
here's a guy willing to give up one of his boys. I'm talking about his friends.
One of the berries.
Yes.
Okay.
The gigs and berries.
That's
yes.
That's right.
Oh, wow. Jerry Garcia had 9 fingers?
Yes. Yes.
I did not know that.
And some rock historian. See, you just don't know guitar players.
I don't slay the axe, so clearly I can't understand what guitar players go through.
Sorry. In 1946, 2/3 of a 4-year-old Garcia's right middle finger was cut off by his brother in a wood-splitting accident while the family was vacationing in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Well, there you go. I don't want to lose the middle finger. I mean, that's kind of a necessity.
Yeah,
particularly if you commute every day to and from work. I mean, you got to have that.
I'd give up my ring finger. I think
you're not going to need that again.
No, probably not. Chris says he'd give up one paycheck. Great. Yeah. We can go to McDonald's by ourselves.
Yes, that's right. Yes. You guys don't understand. Some of you are texting in and you don't understand the premise here. So let me explain it to you. The premise is you've got to give up something that's meaningful to you. So when you say you're going to give up your mother-in-law, like that's not really... Well, I'm going to quit drinking for 1 week. No, that's not really a commitment to the cause here that we're looking for, okay? Like, I need you to... Like, me giving up, like, pizza. Like, that's something that for 3 months. That's something. I'm not willing to do that, by the way. I'm not willing to give up pizza? I'm not in this.
No. Oh, you're... You give the idea.
It's just an example. It's just an illustration. It's not. It's not. I'm not committing to that. So there you go. Travis says he's not giving up anything. He doesn't care that much. Okay, Travis. All right. I like it. Small said he'd give up listening to this show for a week.
Go ahead.
I mean, look. There's 500 other things to listen to,
right.
And you need me and Zach to get through your day. So I mean, here we are. Here we are.
Now, here are people willing to shave their beard. I'm so played out on that. We did that. We've done that. What are you willing to do? Shaving beards and hair and heads. How far are we willing to go to do this?
Someone take a pie in the face?
That's right. DQ's willing to give up Village Inn at midnight on Saturdays.
You go pancakes at midnight at Village Inn, DQ?
I mean, that's what you need to go.
Yeah, but last time I got a grilled cheese.
You can make that on the hot plate in the dorm. You go to Village Inn, you got to live.
When you're walking the line and the cop goes, "What'd you have for dinner?" You say grilled cheese. They're like, "You don't even need to. You just get in the car."
Yeah, you get some pancakes and you load them up with that syrup.
Absolutely, man. That's and then you the thing about a meal like that, you're only renting it. You're going to give it back shortly, but the idea is for it to just suck up all the alcohol.
Yeah,
I hear.
Yeah, there's someone who's okay, now Casey's willing to give up soda. He drinks 6 a day.
Stop. Okay. We have breaking news. Heather has just texted us with what she is willing to give up. Heather from Greenwood says she is willing to be gettable for one day if Arkansas wins by 3 touchdowns.
Hey now, is this legal? Can we do this? All right.
And we have her phone number.
I will say, Casey, if you give up your 6 soda a day habit, you're going to drop about 100 pounds
pretty
quickly.
Oh, that's a fact. Yeah, you will waste.
You might want to do this anyway just for your own well-being, because that's just a good thing to do. But anyway, yeah.
Heather,
6 a day.
Heather is willing to be gettable for a day.
Anybody else? Oh, wow. All right. Oh, Oh, Casey says he weighs 175.
Dude, you'll be...
You must smoke 14 packs a day then. How can you drink 6 sodas a day and weigh under 300
pounds?
He's got
a meth habit.
Good night, 11.
Yes.
Weigh under 400 pounds a day.
Okay, now here's one. Lance, who listens over in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, says he will give up deer rifle season. That, I mean, now, that, now we have planted a flag.
That's a commitment.
That's
there.
A commitment.
I respect that.
All right.
I respect that. That shows me, see, what you're willing to give up shows me how much you love the team. So if you're willing to give up beer for a week, you don't love the team that much. Let's be honest.
You ever been to Fort Sill?
No.
Fort Sill's the town. It's got a huge army base over there, obviously, Fort Sill. And they shoot shells over the town. It's the most terrifying thing in the world. You'll hear this.
Bombs over Baghdad.
Oh, my gosh. I'm like walking through a hotel. I'm like, what the hell is that? Oh, they're just shooting shells. What? What if somebody misses? No. You have what's called an accident.
No.
Joe and Marion would like to get on the He's Gettable for...
Yeah, but does anyone want Joe and Marion?
Well, you know what?
It's not the same.
Oh, my God.
All right. Ruskin and Zach, we'll have a podcast coming out here in the next few hours to get you ready for this ball game on Saturday with everything you need in there to get ready for Arkansas and Auburn down there on the plains. And you can get it at ESPN995.com and hitthatline.com and wherever all the other podcast things are located. So do it. What are you waiting on already?
So Scott says that beer companies can't afford for him to give up beer.
That the stock prices would tank. Yeah.
Chris says he's going to give up his motorcycle for a month during good riding weather. Okay. We got somebody giving up deer season and their bike. Is it a hog? Is that what we're going to call it? He doesn't ride in your crosses, does he?
Oh, no.
Do you think?
It's still too soon.
So somebody in a motorcycle club, if you're going down 23, do you stop in crosses?
You want to see if you're... Well, let's see. He was going west because the sun was in his eyes, allegedly. So he'd be going back towards Fayetteville.
To quote Pops Fisher, blinding. Jonathan's willing to give up tacos for a year. I need more information on how many tacos he consumes. But, I mean, if he's got a 5-a-week habit, that's a pretty substantial, that's a give.
If they win by 3 scores, is Ty willing to give up White Claws?
No.
No?
Did you see what he posted today?
No, I don't follow him. We've gone over this.
He posted his senior picture. And in that
In
that moment, it all became so clear.
No, I got to see this. Hold on.
I mean, it is a cry for help. Now I know why he drinks White Claws. Now I know why he's on the struggle bus. Oh, I got it. Yeah, you see? Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, all you can do is look at that and go, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah. By the way, on Arkansas, if Jordan Rogers can figure out how bad your offense is, Chad Morris and Auburn are in trouble. Because Jordan Rogers isn't exactly Bill Walsh. I don't know if anybody's noticed this with his football analysis. But I watched that thing that, I think everybody's seen it by now on that breaking down the video. The line thing was more interesting to me, where the center isn't even looking at the guy on his left that's coming in there.
No.
He doesn't even look at him.
I told you they're a mess.
They are not allowing Bo Nix to protect himself. They are making all the calls from the line of scrimmage, and he can't do anything about his screwed up protection.
No.
Can't do anything about it.
Can't change it. And when you, it's, I told you, it's a mess. And there are so many things going on that's wrong.
I want to do, yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No. There's so many things on that offense that are going wrong. They can't fix it all in 1 week.
Can we do this?
Mm-hmm.
If they win by 3 scores, can we get Ty's senior picture on one of those electronic billboards on 540 in Fort Smith?
He would like that.
Oh, he would?
Yeah.
What could we do on an electronic billboard that he wouldn't like?
Can we get
on
Tommy's?
540?
Can we get Tommy?
Oh, His Eminence.
I mean, did they have photos back then?
Those records may be sealed. Yeah, they had
probably.
They had the guy went under the hood on the camera and put the big thing up. Boom, big flash.
We'd have to go into a cave and get the drawing. I mean, I think it's in blood or whatever they did that.
Yeah, right there on 49 by the Target. where they got those electronic billboards. Let's put Ty's big senior photo there.
Kevin and Prairie Grove brings up a good point. I think we need to do a welfare check on Joe. I mean, he was about to spin off the planet yesterday. We really need to see if he's still okay.
He was pie-eyed yesterday. Good night.
Yeah. Somebody check on him, please.
Okay. Welfare check, Joe and Avoca. Today's a auspicious day for Joe and Avoca and this show in history. I'll explain that when we return.
Wow, a tease.
Yeah.
What the hell
it's
are
called
you doing
a tease. Here? We're doing radio here now, baby. Come on now. Football Friday. Ruskin and Zach. We'll be right back after these very important messages that you should listen to and apply to your everyday life. Jim is listening in Illinois, and he's with us. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. What's up?
Hey, I'm kind of wondering. I'm an Arkansas faithful and stuff, and I'm wondering, you know, why are you guys not more supportive of Arkansas? It seems like you kind of trash.
Here we go again.
If the shoe fits, Cinderella.
What exactly did we say?
Yeah, what do you take exception to?
Well, you were trashing us before how we wouldn't have a chance and how strong Mississippi State was, and then we took them down, and now you're talking about, well, they're not going to have a chance that everybody gets thinking they can win one, and then, you know, the people...
So you want me to wave a pom-pom? That's what you want? You want the radio host to be nice to your team and wave a pom-pom? Is that what you're looking for?
It's also kind of revisionist history, Jim. Jim, revisionist history. Everybody picked Mississippi State.
Yeah, but everybody doesn't have a radio show that's trashing it. You know,
by picking Mississippi State,
have a responsibility.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
We have a responsibility to.
Yeah, well, to support, I would think the team that's in your market, or find another market where you're not, you know, where you guys can be supportive.
So you do want us to wave a pom-pom
in Arkansas. We got a lot of people in Arkansas. You know, I can tell you guys never played college sports at all.
Oh, here we go with this argument now. All right. Let's knock them all out. Well, we didn't play, and we're not being supportive enough. What else you got, Jim? What else?
Well, you're kind of like Dan Levitard wannabes with all your laughing and goofy, you know, good cop, bad cop.
So you don't like the humor in the show, okay? You don't want a funny sports show. Let's review now. You don't want a sports show that's funny. You don't want one that, your words, not ours, trashes the program. I don't think we've said anything that trashes the program. We spent 5 days telling you how much Chad Morris sucks at Auburn. So, I mean, if that's trashing Arkansas.
I know. Everything's negative. Everything's negative, you know.
Well, does Chad Morris suck at Auburn?
Pardon me?
Does Chad Morris suck at Auburn? Have you seen them play this year?
I have. That's factual.
We've spent five days talking about
that. Did we praise Barry Odom on Monday for his game plan?
Sure, but you also
No. Stop.
That's not how it works.
You can't take bad.
We said,
I'm not saying everything you say is bad.
Yes, no, yeah, you are.
Yes,
you are. You're saying we trash the program all the time. Those were your words, not ours.
No, that's true. You do.
We said give Barry Odom a lifetime contract on Monday. We were unbelievably positive about the defense earlier this week and throughout the week.
Okay, Jim. Okay. Jim, Jim, I see where the disconnect is. There's a podcast for you, and if you'd like, text us, and I'll shoot you the address. You want rainbows and unicorns? That's fine. If we're gonna sit here and tell you that everything is wonderful,
Why don't you take your poll and ask your viewers which they would rather have, more supportive or more negative of the Razorbacks?
Well, we get a call like this once a year, so I'm thinking what we're doing is working out pretty good. And there's this thing called a ratings book that comes out every football season, and we kick everybody in sports' ass. So, I mean, the people have kind of spoken already.
Do the poll and see what the other people say.
Well, Jim, okay, let me ask you a question. Do you think everything went perfectly fine on Saturday?
No.
Then what's your problem? We pointed out what didn't go well.
The overall content is typically negative. It comes from a negative standpoint, and Do
you listen to talk radio in Chicago?
No.
Okay. Because like the nature, like talk radio exists. Let me give you a little history lesson here, Jim. Talk radio exists because games happen, and then we get on the air and we critique the games, good and bad. Okay, so that means good and bad. It is a critical medium. That's why this whole thing exists. Is games happen and people nitpick them.
But 10 minutes ago, you were saying how everybody thinks that since they won one game, they're going to go in and we're going to get, you know, we got it. We're going to win. Everybody's their heads in the sky in the clouds.
That's 100% true, though.
We don't have a chance to win.
I didn't say they didn't have a chance to win. The first part of what I said is true.
Are they going to win Saturday, okay, Jim?
I don't know, but I'll tell you.
Hang, Jim. Are they going to win Saturday?
Well,
just yes or no. It's a simple yes or no.
Say, you talk about
after. Jim,
but I can tell you this.
Jim.
I was an athlete, and your mindset is a big thing, and your listeners' mindset. You know, we're trying to rebuild this program. It ain't easy. We got the hardest football schedule in football history. So when
Jim,
you've used the word twice. We're pretty easy pickings.
Jim, deep breath.
Yeah, yeah.
Are they going to win Saturday? Just yes or no. Do you think they're going to win?
I don't know. I hope they win.
Okay. Hey, is anybody allowed to disagree with you?
Well, obviously.
Okay.
But I'm not on the radio.
Hey, Jim,
I don't talk to
what's
billions
your
of people or how many your listening base
what's
is.
What's your favorite radio show, Jim? Because it's not this one, so I'm curious. Which one is?
I listen more to political stuff.
Here we go. Okay. Now we're getting started. And that's not negative? Holy crap, Jim. Are you serious?
Well, I'm looking for informative, not, you know, just, if you listen to the media, mass media, you're certainly getting one side, you know, and I'm not going to go into all the negative stuff of that. You know, I just don't, you know, this is about the only radio show in the morning.
There's
morning
your pom-poms.
Show. I can't remember who those guys are.
Okay.
Hey, there's your pom-poms.
Jim, that's fine. Jim. What, okay. Do your poll.
Okay,
we'll do the poll. And then tell the radio what came out with that.
We'll do the poll.
And Arkansas faithful will show up.
Okay, we'll ignore the 70 texts that we've gotten during this phone call that hate your guts. Okay, we'll ignore those 70 texts. But we'll do the poll. All right, thank you, Jim. I'd like to thank Jim for cruising into the weekend filling 6 minutes of radio. That was just wonderful.
Thank you, Jim.
Call anytime, Jim. We love you, baby. That was awesome. You know how great it was to not have to work for the last 6 minutes?
Like looking at the clock, looking at the clock.
That's right, and it keeps ticking. Keeps ticking. We've gotten 70 texts that are like, get this guy off the air, he's a moron. But we're the ones doing it wrong. Okay, Jim. All right. And he thinks we're negative and he listens to political talk all day?
Jesus, God. We may have to revise our... I don't know.
All right. All right. It'll be a new day next time. Coming up next, we're going to hear from Lauren Sisler, who's on the sideline tomorrow for the SEC Network. Maybe she'll have something positive to say about this thing. That's coming up on Ruskin.
Tell Jim, though.